Very much. Well, it's 10 years, right, since Larry and Nancy Melks and their family left Kalamazoo here and Calvary Bible Church and headed to Hungary to be involved in a very strategic support ministry to missionaries. And as most of you are aware, their responsibility is providing assistance to keep missionaries on the field. And one of those areas that has been historically a challenge for missionaries and which has resulted in some having to come home from the field is the education of their children. And the Melks have been involved in a unique aspect of coming alongside missionaries and helping administrators and schools and various other resources of training to enhance the educational experience of children so those missionaries can stay on the field and do what they've been called to do. And it's been our privilege to partner with the Melks for these 10 years since they left. And Larry, Nancy, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, it is. It's great to be back here again. It was 3 years ago that we had a chance to greet you and to thank you last time, and so we've come home again for another home service and a chance to do that. So it's great to be here. Definitely want to. I'll turn this on. There we go. Definitely want to say thank you first and foremost. And in Hungarian, we would say "Köszönöm szépen." And that is actually a lot nicer way of saying thank you, because the word szépen is in beautifulness or in beauty. And so we would like to use those more flowery terms in thanking you for the 10 years that you've been with us since the beginning. I remember the time when we were sent off and looking at some pictures from that time and actually came across a picture of John Ruzza with Grant, 1 year old, in his hand. And so it was kind of a neat walk down memory lane for us to see some of those pictures from that time when we were first sent off by you as one of the six churches that are supporting us. And this is a neat phrase in Hungarian. It's Isten Hozott. And what it means is God, Isten is God, and Hozott brought you. And so this is a phrase or a phrase that you would often see as you enter into a village in Hungary, Isten Hozott, and then the name of the village there, Junjun. So, and then on people's doors, they often put this phrase, Isten Hozott. And so, just as a token of appreciation for your supporting us through prayer, through cards of encouragement, through emails, through your financial support, and all those ways, as a token of appreciation, we have a Isten Hozott sign to give to you. So, here it is. I will open it up just so you can feel the excitement as you know. Unwrap this present. You can just do it vicariously with me. And inside here, there's a man, downtown Budapest, and he paints these things by hand with his daughter. And they look beautiful. And what it says here is, God brought you here in English, and then Isten Hozott underneath. So you can see the Hungarian. So you can have this wherever you'd like in your church as a remembrance of, as people come in, they can see that God brought them here, and as a thank you from us. So, Steve? Well, it was from Michigan here that we left in 2001, went across the Atlantic Ocean, and were centrally located in the European continent in Hungary. You can see it a little bit closer up here as we're in that Eastern European block of countries, but centrally within Europe. And then more closely, you can see Budapest, centrally located within Hungary. And we're just outside of Budapest in a sort of like a portage of Kalamazoo kind of thing. So that's where we're at. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about our story and as a testimony of God's faithfulness and working through our lives and directing us. This is what I looked like when I was approximately 6 or 7 years old. And when I was this age, maybe some of you out there, well, all the kids are gone, but except a few of them, I see. So as you think about your yourself when you were this age, maybe you felt like I did, and I felt like I was a Christian because I had Christian parents. Genetically, I had been engineered to become a Christian, so that was my understanding at the time. But when I was about this age in junior high, when I looked like a rock star, that's my sister next to me. When I was this age, I went to a Christian camp, and it was there for the first time I heard that this was about me personally confessing my own sin and receiving God's gift of forgiveness and salvation. And so I stood up and walked down to the aisle and knelt and prayed at that age. And that's when life began for me in an eternal perspective with God's presence. And here was the camp that we went to. And then after that, as God continued to grow me as a believer, as a disciple of his, during the college years was a real pivotal time for me. That first year was really kind of a disaster, actually, because I just kept going home every weekend, was homesick and didn't really get plugged in. But then that second year, I really got plugged into a great campus ministry with a local church, just a non-denominational local church. And it was this group of people here that we did things real fun, like go on whitewater rafting trips and rock climbing trips. And this was the first time that I really started to see that Christians can be cool. Christians can have fun and be you know, enjoyable people. That's me under the arrow there. And then Nancy still hadn't won her affection yet. This was her at the other end of that group on this trip. But it was through these times, at this time and period in my life, where I really became interested in studying the Bible. And we went with as a group to KC83, a large event where we were learning about evangelism and being challenged in our Christian walks to share Christ. And so this was a pivotal time for me, as well as a year after that, went to Urbana 84. So anybody here ever went to Urbana 84? You can date yourself? Yes, we have someone else who was there. That's great. So it was at that conference where we heard speakers, and I sometimes get them mixed up between the two conferences, but Billy Graham and Elizabeth Elliot were two notable presenters, as well as Josh McDowell. And it was at that conference that Nancy, also who was there, and I, we independently made decisions at that time to seek God, how we could serve him overseas in a missions context. And we didn't know when or where that was going to be, but at this point we were making that commitment at Urbana 84. And I remember Josh McDowell sharing these verses out of Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And for me personally, I'm not a naturally compassionate person. I'm an engineer by trade in my first degree, so I can just be cold and calculating. And this was a convicting verse for me at that conference in 1984. And so it helped me to see this is how Christ looks at people, and this is how I need to have a heart towards people. Another thing, from my notes taken back then, Elizabeth Elliot quoting her husband who was martyred, Jim Elliot, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose." And the idea of there are things that are eternal. We can gain things, but we're going to lose them. But there are some things that we can keep forever. And so these, concentrating on things that are eternal, that also really sunk in with me during that time. So that was a pivotal period. Back then, we didn't have a spell checker on notebooks, so you can see the throne of God is not quite how you might see that in the top line if you had a computer. Yes, but I'm an engineer, right? So that's okay. And also during that time, there were some pivotal people that were a part of my those college years that came and spoke at the church we were at. And one of those was Ralph Winter, former director for U.S. Center for World Mission. And he was the first person that talked about using your occupational career, your occupational skills in a missions context. And I remember him talking about engineers who were going overseas and using their skills to help in support of sharing Christ. And so I was really intrigued by that and went up and talked to him about it and continued to pursue that earlier commitment in 1984. And then Don Richardson came and spoke at our church there in Lansing. And he he shared about how he was able, through God's grace, to transform an entire tribe of people from a Stone Age kind of existence into those who were followers of Christ. And so it was a great story of transformation of a complete people group. And then Keith Green, some of you remember this great artist, a piano player. He had a concert at Michigan State University where we were going to school, and was really impacted by that concert. He wrote the song My Eyes Are Dry, and Psalm 51. What's the name of that song? You know it. Where it's right out of, word for word out of Psalm 51. Yeah, well, no, that's a different one. That's a good one, though. But he had a ministry called Last Days Ministries that was part of his worship ministry. And I started reading these Last Days Ministries books, and inside there they talked about all different kinds of mission trips. And so this was the first time I was getting intrigued about, wow, you know, here's some things we might be able to do, and I can get a start. Well, as it turned out, there wasn't anything that worked out timing-wise with my schedule, so I went back and convinced my family, and we did our own missions trip. We just came up with we found a need that met my dad's occupational skills as a professional recorder. He had all the equipment to do that, and so we went to Puerto Rico, and here we are. So this is 1984, and my family going to Puerto Rico on what was my first missions trip. There's the island and the Caribbean chain, and it looks like this for part of it, and then the rest of it's all jungle. But while we were there, when I was able to go around with these Puerto Rican believers and share tracts and share the gospel and talk with people door-to-door about being involved in Bible studies as a way to help this church, this evangelical church there, grow in the capital of San Juan. So that was the first experience for me in missions. And one of the Puerto Rican brothers here just exhorting me in some way. So it was a great experience for me to get started in that. And really a touching story coming as we came back to our home church where I grew up in Flint, and shared about this mission trip that we'd gone on, reported back to the people who had supported us. This lady, Ethel Hale, came up to me after we presented out in the narthex, similar to what you have back here. And with tears in her eyes, she shared that she had been praying for me for ever since I was in high school. Some of you remember, I shared this story 10 years ago. So for those who were around back then, you might remember. This lady had said, I've been praying for you ever since high school. It was a program they set up for the senior saints to pray for the high school students. But she said, I didn't stop. I kept going. And then, so I'm in my third year of college now. And she said, I've still been praying for you. And I wanted you to know that I've been praying that you would become a missionary. And it was one of those moments where you just have shivers go up and down your spine. You realize that someone has been behind the scenes working on your behalf, interceding for you, and having an impact that you didn't realize. She is now with the Lord and is able to see even a greater fulfillment of her initial prayers for me as she's coming back from that short-term missions trip. And it was really cool. I got to go back to the same church that I grown up in Flint. And her daughter was at the church, and her daughter's daughter was at the church. And her daughter's daughter, the granddaughter of Ethel, had come late, and she didn't hear when I shared the story. And she said, come here, you have to tell her the story. So I sat down and told Crystal the story of her grandmother. And she saw the impact of her faithful grandmother in other people's life. She also teared up, and it was a special time. And then she said, here, you got to meet my daughter. So this is the great-granddaughter of Ethel Hale got a chance to see. So it was really, really neat opportunity, seeing God's faithfulness in my life and the impact on others. And here's Nancy. Well, she was young on the reservation. She was actually a Christian at this point, but she didn't know it. She had received Christ early, prayed a sincere prayer of confession as a young child. But with Nancy, she never had the security in her relationship with Christ. And it wasn't until later on, in the junior high years for her, that she came to a point of really understanding that Christ is with us always, that if we genuinely confess that sin, he doesn't leave us. When we do something bad, He doesn't turn away and leave us. He's not happy with the sin, but we are still believers. And so at this age, Nancy had security in her salvation. And through the high school years, this lady here, Jackie Sargent, was a pivotal part in discipling her during those high school years. So you can think back to your own self. You know, who are those people in your life? Or if you're a young person, you look for a person who can be that discipler for you in your life and growing you in Christ. And then one of her first mission trips was to Sarajevo. Someone here I was talking with, Scott, had been in this area during the war. But Nancy was there before the war in Bosnia, and when the Winter Olympics were in Yugoslavia in Sarajevo. And that was her first missions opportunity. It looks like this, and it's very close to where we currently live, not too many hours away by car. And so this was Nancy's coming up, being discipled in church, and then going on her mission trips, and this being one of her first while she was in college. And then our paths came together. We had been in the same college group, but finally we got together and had been dating and got married in 1986 in Lansing. And then my job moved me here to Kalamazoo, so that's where our life in Kalamazoo began together. And we were 15 years here, serving in the church and having our kids, you know, fed into by those saints who taught Sunday school, similar to yourselves, as you do that as well. And we just had a great time of training in preparation for what we're doing right now. And then also occupationally, just for those who have interest in this, I started off working at Stryker for about 4 years as a mechanical engineer, designing these instruments of torture. You can see as one of these removing wisdom teeth. Many of you have experienced this drill, perhaps. So you can thank me later. And then I decided I wanted more interaction with people in a face-to-face kind of setting as opposed to the design behind the computer. And so I went back to Western and got a science education master's. And so I taught physics. And I hear Mike is a physics teacher at Western, so that was kind of cool. I'll like to talk later. But I taught physics in the high school, and did that for 5 years. And here I'm just doing a silly demonstration where if you have a box, a cube like that, and the mirror is diagonal, if you lift your front foot up and make your back foot have the same angle, it looks like you're levitating yourself. So this was a fun optics demonstration. You can still, I'm excited about it now. I'd like to do it for you if I could. And then from there, I went into a position in educational leadership in Kalamazoo Public Schools, and I was helping to develop career-related courses for high school students, such as veterinary science and construction trades and electronics and engineering. And so that was an experience in educational leadership. And all of this came together, the experience of being involved in the Missions Council at church and leading that effort for our congregation, and having had the occupational experiences, all that kind of led to a point where we said, okay, now is the time. We just built a house, and we'd lived in it for years, so we figured that's enough of that. We can move on now. And we did. We interviewed with Send International because I had worked with them for many years as the Mission Council chairman. And they interviewed us to make sure that we were missionary material. Everybody isn't designed to work cross-culturally in another language. So they talked with us, and he was able to say, yeah, I think you're a great fit for missions, and I know a good placement for you. Share Education Services. This is the educational ministry that Steve talked about. And so that's what happened 10 years ago after we spent 15 years here in Kalamazoo. And so when we landed in Hungary, we explored a little bit, and this is what we just walked in the hills of Buda and came across this nice place to take a picture. So this is what our girls look like, Sarah, Jane, and Heather, from oldest to youngest. And then as we left and said goodbye to Hungary for 6 months, this is the picture from the same location. And so this is what we look like now. And you can see life has changed. We've grown up. Our kids have grown up overseas. Janie, this is my ventriloquist act here on the street. This is Janie. And the same pole, same street. I can still hold her, so that's a good sign. I can still lift her. And so we have definitely been blessed by this congregation as you have been behind us those entire 10 years. And as we see today, we are a different family. And we really appreciate your faithfulness to us in that entire time. If you look at Budapest, and I welcome any of you who are on a, would like to come for a visit, potentially would like to be involved in a share conference, I could talk with you about how you could participate in our ministry. And we've had many people do that from Kalamazoo over the last 10 years. So this is what it looks like as you look out across the Danube River from the hilly Buda side to the flat financial district of Pest. And here is the Parliament building. It was built in 1885 and completed in 1902, 7 years later. It has 691 rooms, 12 miles of staircases. I can't believe that, but that's what every tour book says. That when we toured it, it said there's 12 miles of staircases in here, 226 foot tall. So it is the another picture of the same building. It's the second largest Parliament building in the world, second to the one in London. Other things about the city. This is Hero Square. It was built 1,000 years after the city or the country was founded. So it was built in 1896. And up close, you can see here in the center part, these are seven tribal leaders on their horses, seven chieftains. And the one in the front there is Arpad, and he is credited with founding the Hungarian nation in 895 AD. So that's a little bit about some of the monuments there. And this last one here is of King Istvan, Saint Istvan. He reigned from 1000 to 1038 AD. He was the first king and is credited with bringing Christianity into that region. There were a number of, even historically, you can still see mosques in there. So it was Turkish at one time. But he was credited with bringing in Christianity into the region. And maybe a fact you didn't know, the Rubik's Cube was designed by Ernő Rubik, a Hungarian who studied there as an engineer, architectural student, actually. And he had this design. It was these 9 or 3 by 3 cube. And it was just for architectural interest that he did this. And he mixed it up, and he showed it to people. And they thought it was pretty slick. But then he wanted to get it back so all the colors were on the same side. And he couldn't figure it out. It took him a month to figure out how to get it back together again. And so he said, wow, this would be a great puzzle. And it's now the world's most famous puzzle, having sold millions and millions, far greater than any other puzzle of the world. So this is Hungary, a product of Hungary. But of course, that's not why we're in Hungary, right? It's just kind of interesting, and I'm trying to entice you to come and visit us and enjoy Hungary with us, but and minister with us at the same time. But we're in Hungary because God's name is not known in all parts of the world, because he is not receiving the glory that he is due. And so we go that his name may be more known, that his glory would be spread by all and known by all the peoples, all the languages, the tribes, and the nations of the world. And you see this out of Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And that's why we go, that he would be known by all peoples. So we followed in obedience and his leading in our lives, as I described to you from middle school onward. More at a smaller level, the reason that we're in Hungary has to do with the wall coming down in 89. And when that happened, it made it open doors for missionaries to travel into the Eastern Bloc countries, into the former Soviet Union. And when they did, they went and they had kids, or they took young kids with them. And when they had been there for several years, this happened. These stats I don't expect you to read, but it is a copy out of a book of research done showing that one of the major reasons that families do leave the field prematurely is because of children's issues. And the primary children's issue is their educational issues. So these statistics coming back showing it being one of the top preventable reasons is the reason that Share Education Services was created in 1995. So it began then, and then I joined it in 2001 with Nancy. And so this is the area that they focus on. All of Europe, you can see the blue countries, are all of Europe, as well as this particular part of Central Asia, And so to the north of the blue countries, that is Russia. And then off to the right, that's China, where it's unlabeled. And so all those other countries labeled there, that's where we focus. And so my role is the East Region Manager. That's this area, and then that you see here. And that's where I'm really focusing on trying to help the missionaries that live in those parts of the world, particularly difficult. It's the 1040 window area where the least reached of the unreached live. Now, every year we have a large conference in Hungary, and this is what it looks like when we're getting ready for that conference. We're loading up this van here with porta cribs and all sorts of homeschool curriculum and books and printers and everything you can imagine to put on a conference for about 220 people. And this is what it looks like there at the conference. These are all missionary parents gathered together to understand and help them have the resources so they can make good decisions for their kids and relate to their education. These families come from about 15 different countries, all centrally coming into Hungary for this conference. And they're from about that many different mission agencies. So it's a very, very good cross-section of evangelical mission agencies that are helped by this. And that's what a conference might look like. This is a couple years ago. Every column is one of the days. And then you can see that every hour is filled with some kind of opportunity for them to go to a seminar or a workshop, to have testing done. Their kids are in a parallel session. The teens are in another parallel session. So everything's going on at once. The entire family is together during this time. And this is what the children's program looks like. That's my daughter, Sarah, who helped us out this past fall, or spring, rather, in February, late February. And so all these kids coming together from many different countries, but they all speak English, and they just love being together because they know they're all missionary kids. They can relate to each other. They've lived it cross-culturally in there. And some of them are in isolated situations, so it's just a real blessing that when they come together, they can sing together, and they can have a vacation Bible school kind of curriculum together. And it's educational because they're out of school for a week, right, to do this. So it's educational, but it's a great time of being together for them too. And at the end of the week, we have this celebratory picture taken. So there's about 220 missionaries and their kids from all over Europe who have come to the conference. These are the people that you are helping to stay there and to minister, because you're helping us to help them. And moving on now to the Turkey conference that I do every year. This is taken from the conference facility. You can see out there what the landscape sort of looks like. And more closely, you can see it's sort of a San Francisco-ish feel, very steep hills, lots of traffic, lots of people. And inside the conference hotel there, these are the missionary kids we're testing using the Iowa Achievement Test. So they get a norm reference measure on how they're doing and take the guesswork out of that for the parents. And here are the kids at the children's program in Istanbul, and the teen program. The girl in the green shirt there, that's my middle daughter, Janie, who's now a freshman at college, and she was helping us with the children's program, and that was it's a neat opportunity for us to work, minister together as a family as we do this. But then she stepped out of that and joined the teens for 3 hours while I was talking to them about how God created them in unique ways and how he can use them in their careers, in their occupations, and helping them to see the connection between how God created them and how that fits naturally with certain kinds of careers. And these pictures I'm showing you right now, where you can see the faces of these missionaries, I can't send these through my updates electronically because of security reasons in Turkey and in Central Asia. So these are the actual missionaries who are there in Turkey, just a few of them that are in this particular session for the parents. Now, I want to talk to you about Central Asia a little bit. And just so you don't have glamorous views of what I do, you can look closely at the schedule, the itinerary of the flights, and you notice that I arrive at 0320, that's 3:20 a.m. in Tajikistan. So it's pretty crummy connections. They get the really low on the totem pole of how you make the connections. We have huge layovers and really bad times. And you can see 4:10 is a departure there from Astana, Kazakhstan, to come back. So that means you're getting to the airport around 2:10. It's international flight. And that means you're getting up around 1:10 to drive to the airport, which means you don't sleep at all that 48-hour period almost. So that's what it's like traveling, but I'll show you the pathway. And just for reference, for interest, I'm going to share a few stats with you along the way. The U.S. is around 29% evangelical, according to Operation World, in the way that they analyze the data. 300 and some thousand or million people. In Hungary, there are 10 million people and about 2.8% evangelical population. I fly to Istanbul as I'm on my way to Central Asia, and we transfer here. Turkey has got 76,000 people, and it's less than 1/10 of 1%. Less than 1/10 of 1% are evangelical believers in that country of 76 million. From there, fly on past three time zones, about 4.5 hours, and we're in Tajikistan, and the capital is Dushanbe. Here's the flag. Very similar to Hungary, it's just slightly different. And in Tajikistan, this is a city of somewhere around 5.5 million people, but only 0.1% of those are evangelical believers. And then on to Kazakhstan, about 2 hours to the north and through another time zone. We're in Kazakhstan, a city of around 16 million people, and that's 0.7% evangelical. So all these countries are less than 1%. Some of them far less than 1% evangelical. And up to Astana to do another conference, another 2.5 hours north in Kazakhstan. And then coming home, 6-hour flight across the four time zones and back into Hungary. So that's what it looks like when I travel. And here's what it looks like when you fly into Dushanbe. These are the Pamir mountain range. And they're 24,000 feet, butting right up into the Himalayas. So a beautiful part of the world, but spiritually impoverished. And that's the airport flying into, the Dushanbe airport. Those Cyrillic letters spell Dushanbe. So you can practice. See, the W is a shh sound, and the Y is a ooh sound. So that's one thing I've learned how to do is pronounce the alphabet. I can't read or write, but... And now, this is in Dushanbe. There is a room full of kids here. Again, I can show you the faces now, but I can't electronically. This is one of our missionaries with Share Education Services, Mindy Tweet. She lives in the Prague of the Czech Republic, and she meets up with us out there as a team. We're sort of like a virtual team. We come together for these conferences, but we live scattered around. And more of the pictures of these kids who are missionary kids being tested. And as you walk around the streets in Dushanbe, you'll see scenes like this in the market. Apricots, these dried apricots are the orange bowl, and you see some eggs and yogurt-covered peanuts and dried beans and other things that are for sale. And this is where the missionaries will buy their food and go to the grocery store. While I'm there, I need to take one day where I do a little touring because I'm on a tourist visa to get in there. And it's difficult to get a visa, and I've had bad experiences of getting interrogated at the border at passport control, and they ask them, what are you doing here, and it's very tense. So I make sure that I take a day of touring while I'm there so I can show pictures if I'm forced to, that I did tourist things. And so while we were there for that day, these two Tajikistan men, they were happy to have their picture taken with me. This is what a typical elder would look like, wearing the dark gray, black, having the square hat and the facial hair. So that's a very classic Central Asian look. This is where the conference was actually held. So again, it's not a glamorous thing we're talking about here. This is just a house. We rent the basement of this house, and you can see that here where the missionary parents are coming for their time of training and learning. And we had no electricity for the first couple hours of this conference this past year because that's the way life is in Central Asia. You just can't count on it. So we went to Plan B and didn't have our PowerPoints to use. And This is the great thing for them, though. They're very needy in this area. They're relatively isolated, and they need the encouragement and support. This lady, Annette, I met her when she used to live in Uzbekistan, and we're seeing her again in Tajikistan because when the Iraq War happened, they were kicked out of the country. Like, basically all Westerners were kicked out. And so, fortunately, they were able to relocate and continue to work with Uzbekis in a part of Tajikistan. And so I've known her for about 8 years. I've seen her oldest daughter graduate and go on to college. But her youngest son is having some difficulties, and she's talking with one of our consultants there on the left-hand or right-hand side about how to address those problems that she's experiencing. We get a great opportunity to interface with the missionary families over there after the conference and have dinner with them. And here we are sitting on these pads that are about 2 foot by 4 foot long. They're usually stacked up in a pile about this high in the corner of the living room. But when we eat, they spread them around the circle, and they lay a tablecloth in the middle, and we all eat on the ground. And you can see here the two pieces of flatbread they call naan. And that's very customary, just to rip a piece off and use that as your dipping into your food, eating with your rice and your beans. And so this is a traditional sit-down Tajik meal. Lane and Lisa, they live in Astana, Kazakhstan. The reason they can stay there is because he has a company that makes custom furniture. And they make furniture for offices and businesses. And that allows him to get a visa into the country. He hires Kazakh men who work for him, and he's able to share with them openly. Some of them have become believers. He's able to disciple those men. And also, he's been able to come alongside a pastor of a small fellowship in Astana and support that pastor in prayer and fellowship, and also helping him know how to disciple the younger men in the church. So a great relational impact that this family can have there, but they can't be there as missionaries, of course. They have to have a viable reason. So that's how it's done. On the left-hand side, here's another couple, Tim and Eve. They live in Dushanbe, Tajikistan, and that's their co-workers with them off to the right. And they have a restaurant called the Morning Star. Now, if you lived in Tajikistan, what kind of restaurant would you open? Well, it's got to be something unique. I mean, you can buy the shashlik or the skewered shish kebab kinds of lamb all over the place. You just walk down the street and everybody has them out there on the street. So they had to think of something unique, and it's called the Morning Star Cafe, and they sell stuff like tacos and burritos and scones and chocolate chip cookies. So, yeah, great stuff. And so it's been very popular. They're able to hire Tajik ladies to run and manage and cook at this restaurant. They also have a peanut butter manufacturing company here, you see. And so this Tajik lady is grinding peanuts and then pumping them out into that bowl with a nice creamy peanut butter in it. And so they're able to share Christ with the workers that they hire and again, relationally work with people. There's no such thing as open-air evangelism in this kind of a setting. So it's just really building relationships one-on-one and sharing Christ. So it's another family that you're indirectly allowing to stay there. I've again seen the Austins, Tim and Eve, their kids grow up, and now their oldest is a senior in high school. So it's been great to be able to support them, allow them to stay, and be a significant part of that, which you are then also a significant part of that happening. This family here is an example of what we see every year. The family I'm talking about is the one that's in the brown, and our educational consultant is in the white. So when the lady came with her family at the beginning of the week, it was just in tears and great discouragement and the brink of giving up, feeling like her family's collapsing and that she's really damaging her kids' future because of the educational difficulties she's experiencing with their kids. And so it's through our ability to understand the issues of how do you actually do homeschooling and how are they doing really by doing the testing and having even more difficult diagnostic sorts of tests that we can administer so that we can understand what are the particular learning problems that are occurring here. And through the encouragement and support and hope that we were able to give this family, at the end of the week, she's able to smile and share this photograph that they're continuing in hope and with new resources and encouragement to go on. So these are things that happen to us every year, and we know the needs are great and because of what we see coming at us when we have the conferences. Just want to say a few words of things as people give us feedback. This would be feedback for you as well, because you're putting us out there. This week has possibly been the most life-changing of my life. The love, passion, and grace of all the presenters is beyond my ability to describe today. Knowing that children were also safe and cared for allowed me to fully engage. And one more. There are not enough words to express my gratitude for all the hard work you all put into this conference. You pour out your very lives for us. Thank you so much. This week is my anchor for the year. So just hearing these kinds of things, it lets us know that we're really making a difference for those families as they interface with those unbelievers that they're living amongst, less than 1%, much less than 1% believers. This gives you a feel for SHARE being an interagency cooperative. Each one of those people represent a different evangelical mission agency. And they all contribute funds to allow us to travel to go to the various locations where we have conferences and help their missionaries. So this is a very unique kind of a ministry because of this cooperation among mission agencies. And I just want to say a few brief words and encouragement to all of us. These verses here out of 1 Peter have been really encouraging to me as I considered my path to missions, but I'll read it. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So as you sit where you're at right now and you think, you know, what is it that God has gifted me with? What kinds of things has he put into me? Desires and abilities has he put into me that you would then be able to administer that or to share it with other people in the body or elsewhere outside of this direct body even? You consider these verses out of the Old Testament in Exodus. He filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers. All of them master craftsmen and designers to build the things of the temple, to put together that. And so it's he has filled them, God has filled them with the skill to do these things. And he has them use those skills in support of the church. Chronicles. Kenaniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was skillful at it. God gives us desires to pursue things. We become skillful at it. And when we use that, the church and the greater, even unbelievers, are benefited from our using of those things that God has given us. Last verse I wanted to share with you is out of Romans. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So when you think about how God has wired you and what it is you have that's unique, it's a grace that he's given that to us. And if we hoard it and don't use it to serve others faithfully, then it's not good stewardship. So it's a stewardship issue for us to use the things that God has given to us and the way he created us to serve him uniquely. So that's my encouragement to you. That was part of our thoughts, my thought process as I looked at where I was going to apply my energies and starting in that middle school and salvation and then through the commitment at Urbana to pursue missions. All these things were part of that. So here are, again, another group of people at a conference. These are the people that you're impacting through your ministry to us. And they, in turn, are impacting these folks here. The tribes, the tongues, the nations of the world, many of them with a very little presence of the church and of true genuine believers. These are the areas of the world that you're impacting through your ministry to us. I wanted to just step back a little bit and give you just a few things in closing that are of interest outside of the Share ministry. The Red Heart is where we live, and so this is a map of our neighborhood. And if you look, you can see the arrow at the top of the right part of that picture. That's where I go off to the Share office every day, about 10 minutes drive or about a 15-minute bus ride. And the red paw, that's important. That's where our dog is right now. Some of you will remember that we lost our dog for 10 days or so, and we thought he was gone. And then this Hungarian family saw our poster, called us up, and came back with our dog. And so we just thought, this is a great opportunity because we're going to be gone for 6 months and we need somebody to watch our dog. So would you be willing to watch our dog? They were thrilled. The girl was heartbroken. She had to give up this dog. So now it's a great thing that they're able to take care of him and for us while we're gone. And we have a connection with this family now too. The blue check, it was the upper check mark there. That's where our kids go to school. That's where Nancy taught third grade this past year, ministering to people from other missionary families at the school, as well as Hungarians and people from China, business people from China who are just living in Hungary. So in the black check, that's where Nancy is taught at the Hungarian school and taught English in their classes using Bible flannograph stories. Some of you have done that. You had the old flannograph thing. So that's a lot of new technology over there. So they haven't seen a lot of that. And some of you know that Sarah came back. She was 2 years at Moody. She came back and spent a year with us after 2 years at Moody to teach third grade with Nancy, because she just needed some time away to really process what her career was going to be. She was very uncertain about it and didn't want to continue if she wasn't sure. But during that year, she really gained a lot of confidence and got a lot of positive feedback from the other teachers at the school, and is very solid now that elementary education is definitely the way she is wired. She thinks along those lines. She collects children's books. And so now she's at Cornerstone, finishing up her elementary ed degree there. And so we're going to leave her behind, of course, as we go back. And Jane, the girl on the left-hand side, is our middle daughter, 18 years old, and she is an MSU Spartan. It's a good thing to be a Spartan these days. They just won 55-3 last night. So they're on their way. But I still support U of M, too, so I don't want to alienate anybody in here. I'm going to go to the Ohio State, U of M Ohio State game next week and root for U of M, too. So that's right. I know. I was going to be careful about that support. So Janie is she's adjusting to life at Michigan State. She's getting involved with the campus groups there and figuring out the right church for her. And she really wants to help people in a one-on-one kind of helping career. So she's looking at social work options right now. And our youngest daughter, Heather, she is in ninth grade, and she's going to Kalamazoo Central, where I used to teach, and having a great experience. Actually, Wendy, the administrative assistant here, was at her musical two nights ago, and had a chance to see her in Beauty and the Beast. So she's been able to integrate into school well here, and we're thankful for that. And we're praying that as she goes back, that she'll reconnect with those friends in Hungary again and have a good transition. This shows Nancy teaching in the elementary school, the Hungarian school, teaching English. And a couple of people from East Lansing had visited us that day up in the front. I have a chance also on the side to teach English to Hungarians there in the International Christian School. There's 7 students total, and so you're seeing a few of them. It's an opportunity to develop relationships and, of course, to share my life in Christ with them. And lastly, Attila Lakatos had a chance to befriend this orphan. Our church would go every year to the orphanage, and so I had a chance to get to know him over a course of 3 or 4 years. And as he turned 24, he was kicked out of the orphanage, as all are, because there's an age limit. Had no place to go and no hope, no high school diploma. He would just be on the street. So thankfully, we were able to connect with Word of Life Hungary and get him connected there so that he could be discipled and given room and board in turn for him working on the grounds of the school. And so it's been a great thing for him to have a future. We were able to help him also get his high school diploma. So just opportunities that come our way, fall in our lap, that are outside of my main reason for being there, but I think it's just a great opportunity for us to have. This is a front yard where Attila helped me build that fence you see there. I was trying to give him some money, so he worked for it. And that's also the place where we had that horrible sewer problem that some of you might remember reading about. But it took us months to get unraveled and or to get to conclusion. And so thank you for praying for that. It's all taken care of. We're not too much out of pocket for that, thankfully. And it could have been much worse. So we're thankful that that problem is over. And just a few prayer requests I'll leave with you. For Sarah and Jane, who are at Cornerstone and MSU, help them, the prayers for them to continue to adjust well to life here in America and to their new college settings as we return without them. So coming back with three, going back with one. So that'll be an adjustment for all of us. And then Heather, she says goodbye well here and to reintegrate to life in Hungary. That's a prayer request. And for us, for effective planning, as I work on SHRE conferences for Turkey and Central Asia right now from here, I'm kind of divided my thinking as I'm, you know, finishing up the home service time as well as continuing to pursue the future. These things have to be planned out months and months in advance. So pray for that, if you would, as I work on these conferences. And I'll leave you with these verses out of Psalm 67, some of my favorite. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. We desire that Christ would be known among all nations.